Welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some very different kinds of topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all over the world, and the topics are varied. The program provides a time out from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of information. So please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something or even have your interests piqued, like this article from Rebecca Brandis. A not-profit, wildly kind, a unique ambassador program gamifies kindness while engaging communities. Kayla Lamoureux genuinely enjoys giving back. I'm one of those people who always felt happy seeing other people happy. She's also someone who struggled in her relationship with alcohol. So when Lamoureux found herself newly sober during the pandemic, when much of America was running up their BevMo bills, she decided to channel the energy and the money she would have otherwise spent on the habit into something called kindness. We would go out and pay for strangers' groceries, or we would go volunteer and pick up trash, or just do these things that community service projects and random acts of kindness like. Lamoureux said of herself and her now husband, "I would leave little notes and places for people and things like that, and that's just kind of how it got started." The "it" she's referring to is Wildly Kind, the Portland, Oregon-based nonprofit Lamoureux launched in 2022. The natural evolution of her passion project. Friends had gotten involved in her simple acts of kindness, and the word spread on social media that there was a newly formed group of people focused on brightening others' days. I realized very quickly that there were dozens and dozens of people all over the world, really, who were reaching out saying, "How do I get involved in this?" But grants are hard to come by, so the soon-to-be mother of two, her second is due in a couple of months, had to think outside the box. That was how the most unique aspect of Wildly Kind was born, an ambassador program that gamifies kindness while engaging communities. Here's how it works. Interested parties join the program by signing up to contribute $20 a month. With their first donation, they're sent a welcome kit stocked with kindness cards, tags, a badge, branded merchandise, and more. Everything you need to feel empowered to take action in your community. In addition, ambassadors receive access to the Wildly Kind Ambassador app, where they can log their acts of kindness and connect with other community members. Also through the app, ambassadors can participate in exclusive giveaways and kindness challenges. Often these challenges will involve materials sent from headquarters, a tangible result of their donations. The challenge this month is we will pay to send a bouquet of flowers to your house, shared Lamoureux when we spoke in October. We want you to enjoy the bouquet of flowers for the first day or two and then gift that bouquet of flowers to a loved one or to a stranger. You may give us $20 a month, but after a certain point, you start seeing the money back because we're offering these different acts of kindness to keep our ambassadors empowered and inspired as well. There are currently over 100 ambassadors around the globe, and they've been lending their charge in their communities and beyond. One ambassador who has connections in Jinja, a city in eastern Uganda, wanted to organize a shoe drive for some of the children there, so Wildly Kind fundraised to send her to the country. Donations they collected also went toward hot meals and 60 new pairs of shoes for the local kids, and in later initiatives, more money was raised to buy them soccer balls. In addition to random acts of kindness, Wildly Kind runs social impact projects like the Phone Booth Pop-Up, its first put up in Portland and then across the country in Chicago, Denver, and Minneapolis. We built a phone booth and we popped it up at a local festival, and we asked the public to step inside and leave a kind anonymous message for a stranger who could be struggling. Lamoureux explained of the first incarnation. The team then made a video project out of it, collecting all the videos and audios and posting it online. The point, Lamoureux explained, is to create free mental health resources for the public, essentially free daily affirmations that those who are in need can easily listen to and download. The initiatives were led by the Wildly Kind staff, as well as ambassadors in different cities. Especially just the way the world is right now, and people feeling so disconnected from one another, I think these phone booths and just this art project in and of itself allows for a really unique opportunity for people to connect to one another and offer words of support to one another on nothing other than just humanity. You know that? It's really kind. We're not asking questions on affiliations or status, none of that stuff. We are just asking you to put a kind message into the universe for someone who may need it, Lamoureux went on, and communities have really stepped up. This article by Rebecca Brandis at Nonprofit Wildly Kind, a unique ambassador program, gamifies kindness while engaging communities. Our next article by Stephanie Friedman. Those aha moments aren't just satisfying. They may help you remember information longer. When light bulb moments occur, you know those instances when you're struck by a brilliant idea or solution seemingly coming out of nowhere? Well, they can feel like miracles from the universe, but there's actually science behind them, and according to a new study, their positive impact could last well beyond the instances themselves. Researchers at Duke University and Germany's Humboldt and Hamburg universities found that the eureka moments may not only reshape the way our brains represent information, but also help us remember the insight for almost twice as long. If you have an aha moment when solving a problem, you're actually more likely to remember the solution, first author Maxie Becker, a postdoctoral fellow at Humboldt University in Berlin, said. To come to this conclusion, the team first recorded study participants' brain activity using a functional magnetic resonance imaging machine, while the subjects solved visual puzzles called Mooney images. These puzzles involved redistributing elements into coherent objects and often led to positive emotions and instances of immediacy and certainty. After solving them, participants rated their experience of those feelings and instances, and researchers used the ratings to index flashes of insight. The scientists also inquired about how sure the participants felt about their solutions, and if they had discovered the solutions in eureka moments or through slower, more calculated methods. Then 5 days later, they tested how well the subjects remembered the solutions. The result? The participants generally recalled their eureka moment solutions better than the ones they worked out deliberately. The participants who were more certain about their insight were more likely to remember it when the researchers followed up with them. The researchers observed that the eureka moments coincided with increased activity in the brain's hippocampus, the section that largely contributes to learning and memory, which could explain why the information was cemented for longer. If you have an aha moment while learning something, it's almost doubling your memory, Cabeza said. There are a few memory effects that are as powerful as the aha. But that's not all. The researchers also discovered that when participants identified hidden objects, they were looking for the Mooney images. Activation patterns increased in the vertical occipital-lateral cortex, the part of the brain that recognizes visual patterns. And when subjects experienced flashes of insight, both aforementioned brain regions essentially communicated with each other more efficiently. There's no doubt that eureka moments are satisfying when they happen, but the findings point to the power of inquiry-based learning in the classroom. Insight is a key for creativity, Cabeza said. He and his colleagues wrote, "Learning environments that encourage insight could boost long-term memory and understanding." Stephanie Friedman wrote, "Those aha moments aren't just satisfying. They may help you remember information longer." Our next article, couple marries at animal sanctuary where they met with a disabled sheep as ring bearer. Bunny, the disabled sheep, has always been a daddy's girl, according to owner Jack Ratcliffe. So when he and his bride Rosie tied the knot for a few months ago, there was no better fit for the role of ring bearer than their beloved fluffy ewe. In 2018, Jake founded his animal sanctuary, Millington's Magical Barn. That was founded in Yorkshire, England, while also working as an electrical engineer. Though a pet lover, the 34-year-old had no previous experience in the rescue world prior to establishing the sanctuary. But in the years since, he's helped over 200 animals who needed a home. He met Rosie, a 28-year-old veterinary nurse, when she began volunteering there in 2020. After spending the summer mucking stables out and looking after animals together, the couple fell in love and Jack proposed in August of 2023. They'd originally decided to get married in France, but once they delved further into wedding planning, the location didn't feel right. We spoke about it more and thought, we met here, fell in love here, and proposed here, so it was only right we get married here too. A sanctuary is not a wedding venue, so we had to come up with a solution of where the ceremony would be. I told Rosie I'd convert the cow barn into a wedding venue. Rosie was skeptical, but I'd like to say we pulled it off. When it came time for the ring bearer selection, Jake and his heart set on Bunny, who was born without the use of her back legs. We were discussing ideas of who would be the ring bearer. I always wanted Bunny, he said, noting that she arrived at Millington's just as we were turning the cow barn into a wedding venue. So she spent 6 weeks with me while we set up. Initially, Rosie was worried about Bunny taking on such an important task, as animals like cows, sheep, and pigs are not as adaptive with commands and training as dogs are. Ahead of their nuptials, the couple did a bit of rehearsal, but with farm animals, there's not much training to it. I kind of just had to rely on the fact that me and Bunny had a special relationship and that she would come to me. I had a bottle of milk on hand just in case. As a backup, they also assigned Alfie, one of Rosie's childhood dogs, as the other ring bearer. But right before the ceremony began, the Bichon Frise decided to take himself on a little adventure and abandoned his role as secondary ring bearer in the pursuit of snacks. We lost him, and I had to hastily borrow my mom's ring to put on Rosie's finger, Jake shared. Luckily, Bunny successfully walked down the aisle on August 2nd in her adapted chair, much to the delight of the couple's 60 guests. You could hear the collective "aww" as she walked down the aisle. Everyone thought Bunny was amazing. While we were getting prepared for the wedding, we were not around in the garden at the time, and I told the groomsmen not to let Bunny eat anything she shouldn't. But when the wedding photos came back, we saw she was eating some of the canapés. It proves you can't put groomsmen in charge of anything, he teased. As soon as the confetti was thrown, we ran around the farm trying to locate the ring. We thought, where would Alfie go? Jake said he was up in the cat's room eating all the food with the ring on the floor next to him. As for Rosie, her wedding day couldn't have been any more perfect. Despite a missing ring and a rogue pup, everybody has their own idea of their dream wedding, and for me, a big fancy French wedding just didn't fit. I'm much more of a simple girl, and getting married at home in beautiful Yorkshire, surrounded by my rescued animals, our friends and family, was what truly mattered. We met at the sanctuary, we fell in love here, we even got engaged here while I was bottle feeding a lamb that had a collar on, saying, turn around. It only felt right to complete the full circle and get married here. It took a village to turn our working animal sanctuary into our dream wedding venue, but thanks to everyone who contributed, it really was a dream day. We're sure Bunny agrees it was a beautiful day. This article, couple marries at the animal sanctuary where they met, with a disabled sheep as a ring bearer. Meet the 6-year-old whose birthday wish was to save endangered tigers. Lance Wilhelm writes the article. Dateline, Wyoming, Michigan. For many 6-year-olds, a typical birthday wish might be for a new toy or perhaps a video game, but Oliver Thaxton's birthday wish is to help save endangered species. Thaxton celebrated his 6th birthday, and his mom, Aliza Thaxton, said his love for tigers started with a book she borrowed from the library. We were reading about how tigers are endangered, and it was nighttime when we read about it, Thaxton said. All night, Oliver kept coming into my room. Mommy, I can't sleep. I want to save the tigers. I'm going to fly there, and I'm going to protect them. I'm going to watch them and make sure nobody hurts them. So Thaxton started to think about how to make her son's birthday wish come true. She decided that her family could raise money to help save tigers, an idea that was a hit with Oliver. So for his birthday, he asked just to save the Tigers because that's what meant the most to him. Thaxton says she isn't surprised by his wish and that he's always had a big heart for animals. The family started GoFundMe with a goal of raising $100, but in just a few days, they've already raised close to $400. Oliver says he wants to be a zoologist when he grows up, and his mother sees him helping even more animals in the future. I'm just feeling so proud of him and his giving spirit, especially at such a young age, and just excited to see what he does with his future. I mean, if he's already doing this at 6, I can imagine when he's 16 or 26, what kind of a difference he's going to make in the world. The Thaxton family is donating all the money they get from their GoFundMe to Panthera.org, which will give 100% of the proceeds to Helping Tigers. This article, Meet the 6-Year-Old Whose Birthday Wish Was to Save Endangered Tigers, the author, Lance Wilhelm. For you Dr. Seuss lovers out there, this story should be very uplifting. A new story, you say? Long unseen Dr. Seuss manuscript will hit the shelves next summer. Dr. Seuss, a.k.a. Theodore Geisel, brought us over 60 tales covering the topics like cats and hats, green eggs and ham, the elephant who can hear a who, and soon, more than 3 decades after his death, we'll be getting something new from the prolific children's author. One of his long unseen manuscripts will be published for the first time by Random House Children's Books. Titled Sing the 50 United States, the story helps readers learn the names of the 50 states in true Dr. Seuss fashion. With lots of rhyming and wordsplay, the story will feature some familiar faces, including the iconic Cat in the Hat, as well as excerpts and sketches from Dr. Seuss's original manuscript and a map of the United States beneath the book jacket. The state's theme story was discovered earlier this year in the archives of UC San Diego's Geisel Library and will hit shelves June 2nd, just in time to celebrate the United States' birthday. Uncovering a new work from Ted is like finding a time capsule of his imagination. Susan Brandt, the president and CEO of the Dr. Seuss Enterprises, said, Sing the 50 United States celebrates his boundless creativity, genius with words, and enduring ability to inspire young readers everywhere. The article, A New Story, You Say? Long unseen Dr. Seuss manuscript will hit shelves next summer. A new fund will route millions to the literary arts. The gutting of the Institute of Museum and Library Sciences, federal funding for nonprofit literary arts programs, has been in dire straits. Now, 7 deep-pocketed philanthropic foundations are coming together to help fill the gaps. The coalition announced the creation of the Literary Arts Fund, which will distribute at least $50 million through grants to various nonprofit organizations across the country over the next 5 years. The money will go to organizations that award fellowships, host writers, retreats, and residencies, host book events, publish translated literature, and more. There will be an open call starting on November 10th for grant applications. Writer, poet, and Mellon Foundation president Elizabeth Alexander said the goal was to put together something significant, not piecemeal. To really say that literary arts are necessary to our understanding of ourselves as a society. The Mellon Foundation initiated the fund. Other contributing groups include the Ford Foundation, the Hawthorne Den Foundation, the Lannan Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Poetry Foundation, and an anonymous foundation. While the influx of cash is coming at a time when small presses, book festivals, writing programs, and more are scrambling to fill the hole left by cuts in federal funding, Alexander said planning started well before those cuts happened. It was something larger, frankly, that we wanted to do. The Literary Arts Fund is something that we hope will outlast the ups and downs of government funding. Among artistic fields that rely on nonprofit support, literary arts tend to receive the least. The Literary Arts Fund conducted a study using data compiled by Candid and found 1.9% of the approximately $5 billion in arts grants awarded in 2023 went to literary arts. Candid tracks philanthropic giving. Alexander chalks a bit of that disparity in funding up to perceived overhead. A writer seemingly needs fewer resources than an opera or a dance company, but also maybe we just take literature for granted. I know that writers will also write. You cannot extinguish that flame. But at the same time, what I would hate to see in this economy, where only the very most commercial would be the ones who were readily available to us. And that's where the nonprofit literary sector needs support. Jennifer Benka, a veteran of the nonprofit literary arts world, will lead the fund. Benka previously spent 10 years as president and executive director of the Academy of American Poets. This article, a new fund will route millions to the literary arts. Nonprofit clears 300,000 landmines, helping 280,000 people return home. In the vibrant landscape of northern Sri Lanka, an inspiring achievement has emerged from the efforts of the HALO Trust, a dedicated organization committed to healing the scars of conflict. They have joyfully announced the remarkable milestone of safely clearing their 300,000th landmine, a significant step towards restoring safety and hope in an area often overlooked by the millions of visitors who explore this beautiful island each year. This incredible feat has taken place over a vast area that is one-third larger than Manhattan, allowing over a greater quarter of a million people to return to their homes and reconnect with their land. The journey of landmine removal has only transformed lives, bringing a renewed sense of community and belonging to those affected by the remnants of the war. For over 30 years, Sri Lanka faced the challenge of civil strife with the Liberation Tigers of Tamil, engaging in conflict with the central government. Following the end of this long struggle in 2009, the HALO Trust sprang into action, working diligently to make the land safe again by removing unexploded ordnance from regions where families once thrived. Over the years, the organization focused on districts such as Jaffna, Kilinauchichi, Bulativu, Manar, Vavuniya, a carefully disarming and detonating mines and ordinances that posed a threat to the local population. The dedication of the HALO team culminated in a joyous announcement when they confirmed that 300,000 mines had been cleared, restoring 120 square kilometers of land for safe use. Thanks to HALO, over 280,000 former internally displaced persons have now returned safely to their homes, and much of the land is clear, the organization proudly shared. This achievement not only symbolizes progress, but also reflects the resilience of communities reclaiming their lives. As HALO continues its vital work, they are focused on clearing remaining contaminated areas to fully open up the pristine northern region of the island to tourists, contributing significantly to Sri Lanka's economy, which is projected to benefit from over $3 million in tourism revenue in 2024. Vithusan Anthony, operations manager for HALO Sri Lanka, expressed his pride in the organization's progress, stating, "These minefields were laid when I was still in primary school. I remember hearing about them in the newspaper. Today, I'm proud to be part of the team leading their clearance. Reaching the milestone of 300,000 landmines removed and not just a number, it represents lives saved and land returned to communities." The HALO Trust stands as the world's largest organization for landmine clearance, and their mission continues globally. Recently, they celebrated the clearance of 550,000 mines and unexploded bombs in Cambodia since 1991. That showcased their unwavering commitment to creating safer environments for community around the world. The remarkable work is a testament to the power of compassion and perseverance in transforming lives and rebuilding communities in Sri Lanka and beyond. This article, Nonprofit Clears 300,000 Landmines, Helping 280,000 People Return Home. Joy Love writes, Arkansas Officer's Kindness Rescues Stranded Family. A family's road trip took an unexpected turn for the better, reminding us that compassion can appear when it's needed most. Terry Bynum and his loved ones were struck on Highway 63 in Arkansas after their vehicle lost a tire, but their worry soon faded when Sergeant Dan Gallagher responded to their call for help. Instead of offering only basic assistance, Gallagher welcomed the entire family into his cruiser and transported them to a hotel for the night, insisting on covering the cost. I expected him to hand me a phone and say, "Here, have somebody come and get you." Bynum shared. He loaded my whole family up in his police cruiser, drove us to a hotel, insisted, refused to let me pay for the hotel. Gallagher says giving back is simply his way of helping the community that he loves. It's a very giving and loving town. Me as a person, I like to give back to the community as much as I can. During their visit, Gallagher also made Bynum's son an honorary officer, and the family dog briefly joined as temporary canine. The family reached home safely the next day, grateful for the caring gesture. "Something that I will never be able to repay that man for," Bynum added. "Not because he helped me, but because of what he did, not even as a police officer, but as a human being." Whenever they pass through towns now, the Bynums make sure to visit Gallagher, who recently surprised them with dinner. "It's just one of those experiences that restores your faith in people," Bynum expressed. This article by Joy Love, Arkansas Officer's Kindness Rescues Stranded Family. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of today's readings, and I'd like to leave you with this quote from the day by J.J. Vanderleeuw. "The mystery of life is not a problem to be solved. It is a reality to be experienced." By J.J. Vanderleeuw. Thank you for listening to Nice News. I hope you enjoyed the articles. Please join us again next time when we cover some very unusual topics. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well. Be happy. Bye-bye.